Welcome to another episode of Innovation Somalia. I am your host, Abdul Ali. I'm coming to you from Columbus, Ohio. I'm really excited. Today's guest is somebody that really doesn't need any much of introduction, that who's actually from Columbus, Ohio, who recently ran for local office here in Columbus, Ohio. His name is Farhan Jaite. He recently ran for the city council here in Columbus, Ohio. So we're going to talk to him about, you know, some of the things that he learned, the process, what inspired him, and all that stuff. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Abdul, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So you recently ran for city council here in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
What got you into it?
Many things.
Okay.
And I think I lived this city for quite some time, and I think that was early settlers, if you want to sort of phrase it that way.
Right.
In mid-90s, September 96 mm-hmm. is when we moved in to Columbus from Virginia.
Oh, okay.
So Columbus has been home, and Columbus has been at a place where I would say we have the most Somalis. I know there's a claim out there that Minneapolis has the most Somalis.
Right.
Minneapolis has the most Somalis as far as metropolitan wise.
Okay.
But as pure population wise,
uh-huh.
I think it's Columbus. It's
really?
Central Ohio, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's more people, individuals are moving in, families are moving in, professional ones are moving in. And Columbus is an amazing city. It's a place where it's easy for families. You can raise families. For those who have, you know, when it comes to, there's a lot of man-made out there due to entrepreneurship spirit that is in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're lacking representation. Every other community has representation in the city chamber, city of Columbus chambers. And there's a African-American heavily represented.
Mm-hmm.
There's some whites, there's Hispanics,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately none of them are Africans. And why not? We overqualify.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of different individuals who are in the private sectors and public sectors, the nonprofit world. And I was one of those individuals that I always motivate others
mm-hmm.
Because my background is in media,
okay.
Just as you are. And I was always close to those who are the policymakers with a local city
mm-hmm.
or county or the state level.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a cheerleader for many of our potential politicians, but unfortunately none of them had the heart to go out, and it's a hard job. It's not easy.
No doubt about that, for sure. Yeah. So what qualifies you?
A couple of different things.
Okay.
One is, the basic one is obviously public safety.
Uh-huh.
For one, when it comes to the Columbus Police Department,
mm-hmm.
we only have three officers, and the liaison is happened to be a brother.
When you say three, you mean three Somalis?
Three Somali officers.
Oh, okay. In Columbus, in the city of Columbus?
The city of Columbus.
Oh, okay.
But that is, there should be more.
Okay.
And I think we haven't had the right conversations with the right leadership team.
Okay.
And it's a two-way street. One, as a community, I think we need to request or demand.
Okay.
Because we have the population, and we have a strength in the city that not a lot of people recognize. But we are a very powerful community in Central Ohio. And we just need to be more organized,
mm-hmm.
more strategic, more effective. So public safety is one, and to be part of the structure of the department. Second, brother, is that I grew up in Linden area. Linden area, it's a place that made me the man I am today. There was a tough lessons in life that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated in Linda McKinley. I think I was the first Somali who graduated in Linda McKinley
mm-hmm.
back in early 90s, late 90s. So when it comes to the issues that face those communities and our communities within the Somalis, it's the same. It's exactly mm-hmm. the same issues. There's no specifics. We're not a special community. We just have struggles of any other
just
community.
Just like anybody else, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So some of the things that I noticed within that area is that food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is, if you live in 17th and Cleveland Avenue, and you are a senior citizen,
mm-hmm.
the closest grocery shopping is either the Kroger on Carl, on Morris, or East End Walmart, or High Street.
Okay.
So there used to be a Kroger on Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of these individuals live alone, just like all the elders Somalis who live alone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's one. And second is to establish entrepreneurship spirit within those distressed neighborhoods. And fortunately, most of Somalis happen to be naturally entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
So we just want to present an idea where we can elevate the community in different ways, okay. in different
capacities. I want to go back to, you know, quickly on the city police that are only having three people. Mm-hmm. You know, is it more like the qualification that we're lacking in the sense of like to go through the academy of the police, or is it more so not interested, not too many people are interested in going through? I guess what is preventing us not to have any more more than three in terms of police? Because certainly we are one of the largest population here in Columbus in terms of immigrants, right?
Right.
But what's preventing us not to have more than three?
It's the leadership. It's the leadership. And also, we all, as a community, we also play a part, too.
Okay. When you say the leadership, you mean the leadership in from the police department, or you mean like in terms of like within our community?
Within the city, specifically, okay. the recruitment process.
Okay. Okay.
They don't come out and reach and give present those opportunities.
Gotcha.
And we're not alone in that department, unfortunately. Okay. So many, all the Africans have experienced in the similar situations.
Right. Right.
And I think I've just seen one Eritrean brother in the department. So as a total of African, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's about 6-7, mostly.
Okay.
And what I mean by the leadership, brother, is that we are a very powerful block, portion of the city. And unfortunately, the leadership took us granted. Now, some of it is, it's a two-way street. We also have to take a part of that blame.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We just can't put it all on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
we also have, and we... When it comes to the leadership or political, I think the Somalis get involved for the last, 6-7 years?
Mm-hmm.
We started off by Mahmoud Jama back in the day.
Ismail, first try.
We're still newcomers in that arena. But I think we're Somalis. If you have one shop, I'll have another shop.
Mm-hmm.
Three other of us will have the same shop. So I think within 5 to 10 years from now, I think we'll be heavily...
we'll duplicate easily. you said you grew up part of the Linden area, mm-hmm. and there was some tough love and stuff like that, and certainly you have seen some experience. So share with us some of the growing up toughness part that you have experienced in that area. And if you were to get in the office, or should I say when you get into the office, what would you do differently? What would you do in terms of like to kind of make it better lives for the youngsters that are there right now?
To be more proactive.
Okay.
Unfortunately, most of the politicians or who are with it, it's a city council or county level, they talk a good game. They always sort of run numbers out. They come only specific gatherings. But I think what some of the things that I would have changed was to be more hands-on. This is the streets that I grew up into.
Okay.
I do not need a social service individual who run a specific nonprofit to be the lead for me. If this is my constituencies, so I more hands-on, more proactive, more city town hall meetings, open line communications directly. And I think we can heal a lot of the issues, a lot of the wounds that we have as a community. And I'm not, obviously I'm representing all the communities that live in that specific district.
Right.
And because this is our home. We're not going back anytime. Right. We're not going back, period.
Yeah.
So the priority is to obviously be more proactive, be part of the solution of some of the issues that we have as a community. And I think that's some of the things that we would definitely would make a difference. And I still feel like that I have that responsibility to make those changes because I still live in the city. This is I might not have won the seat, but I still have to be part of the solution.
Okay. For those of us who really don't know much about in terms of what one individual that who is at the city council represents what region. So, for example, if you were to get in office now, like where would you be? Is there, for example, for example, Munir is district 9.
Right.
Is that how it works in a sense of the city council? What area would you be representing?
It would have been district 5. A portion of it would be close to New Albany, a little bit of Westerville.
Okay.
Not a portion, but the borderline of Gahanna and Columbus.
Okay.
And anything that's from Westerville and going towards the east.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of that, and you know, those are like really nice areas, right? Mm. Those are like comfortably people. Right. But in if you come down on the 17th Avenue, right, somewhere in the Cleveland area, it's a little bit of a different. You can't compare the two. It's a day and night. And would that be an area you'd be representing as well?
I would represent all the whole city.
Okay.
Because the vote would have came from throughout the city. It's a citywide vote. The significance of having the district uh-huh. is that, for instance, if I was to run for city council one more time, mm-hmm. the petition of to qualify me to be a candidate mm-hmm. has to come from that district.
From that district.
From that district. And I have to live in that district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So other than that, it doesn't carry any other special ways.
Okay. Okay.
But the city is that district itself is a very diverse, like, as far as race and economic wise. You're right. It's well off, but
yeah,
it's still diverse.
Okay. Now, you know, I've seen the way I came about you was I've seen you through TikTok and I've right. seen you through other social medias and stuff, and there was some, you know, support from all over the place in terms of the community and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So when we like let's unpack a little bit. So if we take the Somali community outside of it, do you feel like you get enough support from outside Somali community?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that most of our votes came from outside of Somalis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Somalis, this is new to us.
Okay.
I think growing up, your parents came from, obviously, the military regime. So voting is not something that we know how to process.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't remember voting back home.
Exactly. So we'll get into as we move forward to this conversation, but there are certain areas, certain categories or certain portion of the community that don't really vote.
Right.
But I think that's something we have to change in coming years. I think we have to be more proactive, and it's something we're planning on doing right now. We'll have a monthly event.
Okay.
And some of it will be educational, okay. leadership trainings. We still will have voter registration on every month.
Okay.
Because we were not in it for just to win. We were right. running for a reason.
Right.
And that is for to better off to the community that we live in, especially mm-hmm. our community,
mm-hmm.
and educate, and at the same time leave a legacy at the end of the day.
Right. Do they feel like the ones that have not yet registered to vote, do they feel like their vote can make a difference? I guess, you know, that's the part maybe that's the part of the educational part you're talking about in terms mm-hmm. of like having them to understand that, hey, you as an individual really matter.
Absolutely. They uh-huh. really feel, and there's a block of them will come to you and apologize. I mean, there's no need for apologies. Okay. It is
what it is.
At the same time, you know, it shows that everybody is feeling some type of way.
Okay.
And it's a good thing they feel that way.
Okay.
And I think for whatever that round is or whoever is running next,
yeah,
I think we can make a difference and we can definitely make the change that we are hoping. And, okay. But for me, it's not the vote. The election is over. It doesn't mean that my responsibility is not over yet.
Right.
I still have responsibilities.
Yeah.
And that is to advocate and be more proactive and be more involved as I was and planning how I was.
Okay. If you were to run again, mm-hmm. Or when you run again, you know, specifically, what would you do differently than this time?
What I would have done differently would have been I would have targeted specific age groups.
Okay.
Between 18 to 25.
Okay.
That group, unfortunately, don't vote. And I don't think they realize the power they have. And we have to go to them, meet where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're extremely sharp, smart. And I think they need to be more involved. And I think it's an area that we have to target on moving forward, whoever is running. I would always, if I think we have two individuals who came recently who are running for West Side, we're running for state reps.
Okay.
And I am helping them out to succeed.
Okay.
And I told them specifically.
Are they Somalis?
It's Somalis.
Okay.
Specifically to target those two age groups.
Okay.
That's something that I would have done earlier on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I think it's excellent that we are going to go and meet where they are in terms of like to make a difference. But I feel like as a Somali community, the youth are kind of a sort of an how do you say, kind of sort of like scattered around.
Unfortunately.
Right, unfortunately, absolutely, right. Absolutely. There isn't, you know, there's the small centers that kind of sort of help out in terms of like, let's say, Masjid, Duksi, all that, but they're not further across the board. There's a large population of them that are just kind of sort of left out. Right. If you look at the prison system, for example, you know, a lot of it is like where they grew up and how they've been. So I guess my thing is that, you know, the ones that already end up going that route and the ones that are coming up, how do we prevent the ones that are coming up? Everybody that who's running in terms of the politician that wants to represent the community and the city around in that, how can they help the youngsters that kind of sort of give them some sort of like a lifeline, the ones that are lacking or maybe not an environment that where they can succeed?
It goes back to education. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that we have to target the parents and empower them. And if they wait for a solution from a politician, I don't know if there would be any other, I don't think there's going to be, it's going to be any improvements.
Mm-hmm.
But if we empower the parents and educate them the alternatives, and at the same time figure out a way in a space where we can create an educational system, or we don't have to be the one who educating. We can have a third party or maybe outside of the community who can come in. There are plenty.
And we can facilitate.
Easily. Yep. Organizations who are willing to come over and educate. They speak to their way.
Right.
So it goes back to education. But I think at the same time, though, it's a two-way street. Parents have responsibilities.
Yeah.
The masjid or the Ahluddin have responsibilities.
Ulama have responsibilities.
Right. And also called the leaders also have responsibilities.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So it's a responsibility. So if we combine all of those different areas, I think at the end of the day, there's a solution.
And also, it comes down to a resource. A lot of it, so a lot of some of the program that exist or where we're trying to kind of sort of have a conversation about it is just, you know, it's mental health. And for example, that specific word is so almost like kind of sort of taboo in our community. So I guess it comes back to that education. I always like to talk about the mental health side of it over our youth. And have you ever heard the term that you can't teach a new tricks an old dog? So you cannot teach the parents that, hey, this is not a taboo. This is just as sickness as you get it. And a lot of it kind of sort of take them to a path where, you know, all the haram stuff comes into play.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, for example, I'm yet to see an organization that really specifically targets the mental health. So all the politicians that are running or the ones that are actually already in the office, you know, what differentiates it is that, hey, do you have the resource kind of sort of will help the ones that are willing to help other people?
Right. Again, I think it comes down, the community is, when it comes to entrepreneurship, is extremely powerful community. According to a database that I was looking at recently, it says that the Somali businesses, Somali American Chamber of Commerce, had it, and a numbers that's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. It's hard to digest, but it's almost $3 billion that we contribute back to the state. That's very powerful compared to any other community. I don't even compared to African.
Not 300 M, 3 bill.
B. Imagine that, bro. 3 B. So when it comes to reaching our politicians or organizing ourselves, I feel like we're not very mature. We are being absent to concentrate on your qabil or your intention.
Right.
And no, we have a bigger fight than that. And I think we need to be more, I'm going to use the word Somali, qayankar when it comes to politics. And we have huge issues. As you said it, I think that's a really good word. When it comes to mental health, it's a taboo. It's an extremely strange thing, and we don't know how to handle it, and we don't know how to express ourselves, and it's going rampant through our community, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
And when it comes to reaching our resources, I think if we come together, do a fundraising, and at the same time, that money that we raised has attachment into it, to any policymaker, whether it's a local or a state level or federal.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we organize ourselves to that window, those ways, then resources will come.
Yeah.
Education will come.
Yeah.
Trust me, brother. We really do have people who are capable of teaching our community, who are Somalis, who have you know, in that field, or specialize. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of people, but we just don't have the resources, and the community themselves need to be more mature and reach out in a very effective way to the policymakers.
And you know, you brought a very good point. We're not organized, we're premature. But how long are we going to be premature? We're like here in 30 years, 30 years plus here in Columbus, right? We should be making a difference long, long, long ago. And that kind of sort of touches on the leadership that are already in place. And I hope that gets to change.
So you're right. That's a very good point that you have just raised. And I think when it comes to education, it doesn't have to come within.
Right.
Fortunately, we can always have outside resources. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that right now we are implementing is to have leadership trainings for our youth. And these leadership groups are coming. It's not specifically Somalis. Any kid that we feel like is should be, we identify as, we'll have a monthly, and we'll have maybe about 7 different classes specifically. And we'll hold this meeting at Jigamol, and I think we'll start at the New Year's.
Okay.
And that will be strictly for anyone who had advocate for policies, grassroots levels. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to change a lot of youth, have the perspective they have about politicians, because we don't know what politicians is like. It's not like what you see in the movies. But politicians have a lot to process themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think if you don't go out and educate themselves and let them know who you are, what you are, they will always have assumption. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we do have those who are from the community that has been around in those circles for quite some time. And it just became a job for them.
Okay.
And they just collect the paychecks. It's not many, maybe it's very few, but we can't really blame them. At the end of the day, it comes down to the individual how they process, and it's an individual thing, and the level of responsibilities.
You know, responsibilities to others, and has to be the most responsible person, that responsibility to others. And it makes a big difference in the sense of that how others see you.
Right.
So, for example, if I'm in a position where I have the influence of the community, but the representation, it's not, you know, coming through the way it should. Mm-hmm. It's just it's a level of individual, but also. It's really hard to unpack. As you can see, I'm struggling with it. It's really hard to unpack because you don't wanna go out of your way to blame individuals, but also you wanna go out of your way to say, okay, well, what we are seeing, it's not a good representation of the rest of the community for it, right? So that's why I feel like it has a lot to do with the youth being scattered around. And you know, if there's no channel way out, or if we cannot meet, you know, where they are, it will be difficult for them to kind of sort of change that. So only time will tell. Only time will tell. You know, time got us here, and time will see where we go from here in terms of how will this key be a better community to so that it can rank with the rest of it. Like you say, 3 billion. That's kind of that. Yeah. You know, like if you're out there listening, 3 billion. That is what we contributed to the state. And if you think that we are small power to reckon with, you sadly looking the other way.
No, but I'm not here to sit and to blame our leaders, specifically our representatives, whether it's a city level or county or state, because it's up to us to educate them our issues and to bring that attention, our needs, and have an appropriate presentation for them. Mm-hmm. And to be more aggressive on getting their attention. And most of the times, I really do believe they try. Mm-hmm. But it's the people that sort of, unfortunately, that's the gatekeepers, that's Somalis,
that are not given
the right, accurate information. But
I mean, they're well-rounded individuals, not the gatekeepers, but the other folks. They're well-rounded individuals. Can they see through that?
I think that right now the tide is changing.
Okay.
They realize that. Now, one of the reasons why I'm saying that is to you is because I ran as a Republican. The fact that I ran as a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have organically every, not only Somalis,
okay,
but all the community that we came across to, anyone that we knocked their doors,
mm-hmm,
voted for us. And they could see the numbers reflect on that, fortunately.
Okay.
And because the reason why we did that, I used to donate as a Democrat.
Okay.
And because, you know, we're always trying to establish that relationship. But at the same time, some of the individuals, what they present, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So as an individual who I think who wants to see the better good of our city,
mm-hmm,
I want to contribute and help support that leader, whoever
yeah,
that might be.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I did my fair share of supporting fundraising and all that.
Okay.
But then again, when we made the assessment, realistically, it didn't make no sense,
mm-hmm,
to be, you know, to repeat the same thing over and over and expect completely different result. So we just pivot and figure out a new direction. And I think this direction that we took,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
We have very good plans coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not Somali plans. It's the community, Central Ohio community plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have established a good alliances. And because of those alliances, I think in the long run, we will see, we'll bear the fruit of it. We'll see the results. And it's going to have a profound effect
on how
things are run in the city and the county.
Can you talk a little bit about the partnership or the ones that you just mentioned that we...
Some of the communities that we we're as a community, we are socially conservative.
Okay.
And we forge...
What does that mean, really?
Values.
Okay.
As an individual who believes in God and who believes in family values,
uh-huh,
which I think is the priority for all of us, unfortunately, there's a lot of different social issues
right,
that's
right
out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Specifically, it's that the sexualization of our educational system,
mm-hmm,
the individuals or the groups who are behind all this thing are extremely aggressive. And again, this is America.
Right.
We respect everyone's view.
As we should.
As we should, and how they live their lives. Vice versa. Don't shove it. Your agenda on my throat. We don't make the law of the land.
Right.
There's a law of the land, and everyone should comply on those. So we have a lot of people that we have so much in common. And now we might have different creed and different race, but we have so much in common. And fortunately, because of that commonality, that bridge was extremely easy to establish. Now, we got support from the predominantly African American community in Southern, mm-hmm, Columbus. The traditional Republican, which is, mm-hmm, happened to be white,
mm-hmm,
and all Africans,
okay,
and Nepalese,
okay,
and Hispanics. So it was really a beautiful thing to see. You know, we may have not won the seat, but we really won in different ways for us to establish those bridges.
Okay.
And it's something that we are extremely excited moving forward,
mm-hmm,
and continue to strengthen those bridges, and at the same time bringing more attention to our goals.
Okay.
Which is to see differences in Central Ohio.
You said you run as Republican.
Right.
Were you always Republican, or did that kind of sort of shifted somewhere along your politics?
The values, it fits me like a glove. So it was an easy decision to make.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason I'm asking that is that a lot of our communities are intend to be toward to the Democrat. And there isn't much of independent in between, really, if you think about it either, you know, and there are more on the business side of it, as the Somali folks are intended to be a little bit more Republican, but you don't get to hear.
And family values.
And family values. Yeah. You cannot speak about that. I mean, you cannot go without that.
Mm-hmm.
Family values, the most important things, our background, our culture, our religion, all that has a huge impact in it.
Mm-hmm.
So did you come across a lot of you're running as a Republican, we did not know that type of stuff? Did they know that you were running as a Republican?
Some of the things that we have experienced is that when we were trying to get some of the petitions earlier on,
uh-huh,
some of them, when we go to people's houses,
mm-hmm,
and we knock some of the neighborhoods, first question they would ask is, please, if you are Democratic, don't waste your time, we're not gonna give you any signatures.
Okay.
And they were surprised if I say I'm running as a Republican. Initially, they assumed that I was pranking them. I thought the team was pranking them. But they realistic when they realize, and we say, obviously when we pass that bridge and we say, seriously, we are running as a Republican. Mm-hmm. And most of the people are sick and tired of the fact that we have a lot of the gender issues in the educational system, especially the kids.
Yeah.
And this transformation from a boy to a girl to a boy.
Yeah.
And that's extremely fearful situation. And I think they, Democratic, have lost a lot of votes because of that. The data is there. It's not something that we're just sitting here and disputing, but you know, facts are facts. But then again, our goal was, even if right now that we, even though we lost to Democratic, we will absolutely support for those who are in leadership because we need to improve our community. So it's not about party issues; it's more of the concerns that we have for our city and for our streets and for our youth.
Okay. And specifically that position, who are you running against?
At the time I was running against, actually the current, it was incumbent. A young man by the name of Nick Bankston.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this was his second term?
This was his, that was his first initial, second time.
Okay.
So now that this will be his second time.
And so the area in which you were knocking doors, but they were all Republicans, like that was an area that was known Republicans. Like, have you gone to like an area that's Democrat and you knock the doors?
Oh, brother, we went to the hood. Yeah, it wasn't
the Albany and Westerville. No. You went to the hood.
We went to the hood.
Project.
Where we grew up.
Gotcha.
So people were receptive to that.
Okay.
So they opened a welcome, open arms. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Absolutely.
And, it's a one-on-one conversation at the end of the day. And so everybody wants to see the safety and the clean streets. And that's the really the thing.
Okay.
Everybody wants that kind of comfortable life.
Do you document that?
We actually did, yeah.
Yeah, like videos and all that. Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. It's interesting to see the expressions of how people will kind of sort of presume. So coming back to the youth training that's going to be held in Jigjiga, talk about a little bit more about that and how people can find out more information on that.
We will absolutely share that with you guys. But it will be something that will is coming up on the beginning of the year, January 2024, continuously.
Okay.
And we will have a group by the name of America for Prosperity. And they are a nonprofit organization for leadership training for grassroots levels.
Absolutely.
Now, this training is for all the youths. It's not specifically Somali.
Is it an age group?
Between, late 11th grade until after college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so even if if it's an individual thinking about running for office, there's a training for that.
Okay.
So there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of other organizations out there that are willing to help, but we got to go at them and bring them to the community.
Right.
And I think our goal is to have maybe about 8 different classes throughout the year.
Okay.
And right now, we just wrapped it up a training for potential candidates classes, and it's a way to improve and give more knowledge and different routes and different alternatives and more broaden their network, kind of a mental way.
Okay.
So, and one of the things that I would say that I'm extremely proud for our recent campaign was the fact that we were able to bring all the Somalis in one. Initially, there was a lot of, the basic, if you want to call qabil or region or, the typical things. But our campaign was completely different from that. Our campaign, it was one campaign that every Somali was united on. They volunteered. They contributed, they advocated, they utilized social media, the elders, and every family was out there. I mean, it was something so to be proud of, man. We just had past Saturday appreciation night for all the supporters. For a lot of people showed up, about almost 400 people, but it was a beautiful thing. And I think it's a standard for those who are behind us, who are running for office.
Mm-hmm.
They need to initiate, what we were running was not just, it wasn't because of my family. It was a betterment of the community and the other community that's surrounding us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in the belly, what do they say? The belly of the beast. For us to have that immature conversations about certain this and that. So,
yeah.
And I think it's, and I hope for those who are, we have a primary coming up on March, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And I think we have a few Somalis are running.
Okay.
I really do hope they take that standard into a higher level.
Okay. And Qabil thing, that's not something that we can avoid. You know, all honestly speaking,
right.
It's that's what, you know, Somalia right now is based on, right? I guess my thing is that how do we come to on in a way that we can understand and realize is there, but yet kind of operate above it. You know, in order to fix a problem, first you have to know it exists. So for us to say, in just generally speaking, mm-hmm. and every—I mean, this is throughout the community. Anybody you talk to, anybody you understand, the Qabil, it's part of your material. That's just—it's really hard to avoid. But in order to fix it, first we have to acknowledge it exists. Okay, hey, you know, it exists. We understand it exists, but if we try to put a kind of sort of blind side, you know, how do we go above it and work with it? And I think that's what the new generation or the folks that are coming up through the pipeline, March and sometime in beyond that, I think you need to realize that, because when Somali people or you have received a vote, or I'm just kind of sort of thinking this in the moment, you received the support from somebody that who might not be the same part as you are, correct? May not be the same Qabil as you are, mm-hmm. correct? But that to show you that that person, there is a way that we can operate above the Qabil. And I think first what we have to do is to acknowledge and say, hey, it exists, we understand that it exists, but let's just find ways that we can operate above it.
100%. First of all, Qabil is a beautiful thing.
Right.
It's a way for us. It's an ordeen. It's an
Quran. It's an ordeen. Yeah.
But we as the Somalis, the way we use the Qabil is...
Oh, absolutely. It's just so disgusting, man. Yeah. So disgusting. So ridiculous. So ridiculous. Oh.
So, we are not in Somalia. We're in Columbus, Ohio. And Columbus, Ohio does not say to you who you are, Reer Kasana. At the end of the day, so what do you bring to the table?
Yeah.
What issues? What?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you different than any other politician?
Yeah.
What do you bring to the table? Yeah. What is it that you're going to contribute positively to the community? And I think that should be the standard. When we assessing the individual.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100 times. I agree 100 times. But it's just the fact that it's so part of the material that it's don't to comedicate. So it's really hard to avoid it. But I think the awareness and the education. You know, I talk to a lot of people that are outside our community, mm-hmm. you know. But when we're having a conversation, you know, one of the things, I'm like, oh, your community is so excellent. Man, I wish my community could be part of your community. And I think we're displaying that image. But internally, I think, you know, a lot to do.
I think we have easy work to do. It's not much. I think our community, our people are beautiful, supportive, amazing people. I'll be honest with you.
Absolutely, man.
But I think we have very few minorities who are extremely loud. The only way for them to stay relevant,
right,
they have
right.
to utilize this little thing. I'll be honest with you.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I think the good are at least the bad ones.
Yeah.
But alhamdulillah, there are a lot of youth. They know Qabil. We need for them to know the Qabil because in order for me to give a kid to my daughter,
you have to know where you came from.
First question is what?
Who's the elders? Where you came from.
Exactly. So, but I think at the end of the day, it's a process. It's a wound that needs to be healed.
Yeah, and it's a process too.
But in order for us to move forward as a community, alhamdulillah, we have alternatives to vote or different candidates of Somalis.
Right.
As long as we have that option, I think we're in a good place.
If you were in office, that you actually get in office, what advice would you have for the rest of the folks that run the pipeline?
Educate yourself. Stay consistent. At the same time, stay engaged, whether it's local or county, both at the same, but state level. But mm-hmm. I think as long as you are broadening your network and is actively staying engaged, be in those circles, the decision makers, or any other local political level, I think the more you stay engaged, the more information you obtain. At the end of the day, it comes down to money and manpower and information.
Okay.
So. Staying active, engaged is some of the things. Some of the last words, things that I will conclude.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. We'll leave it at that.
I'm honored to be here. This has been an excellent, amazing experience. Thank you for the conversation.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.